God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Well, as most of you know, there is a lectionary we follow that gives the readings for each Sunday. Many faiths share this same lectionary, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, and so on. And usually there are two tracts offered, and St. Francis, we tend to choose the readings from tract two. Occasionally, there are choices within a tract, and that was so for this week. I chose the two alternate readings, both from the Wisdom of Solomon, which you just heard. I thought that if there was ever a week to talk about wisdom, it would be this week. Wisdom. Think about that word for a moment. Wisdom. How would you describe it to someone else? Is there someone you know who exemplifies wisdom for you? Let's let a longing for wisdom guide our hearts this morning. According to the book of Proverbs, wisdom has been with God since the beginning of creation, and she has seen it all. Wisdom is the long view. Wisdom observes earthly events as part of a very long and ongoing story. Wisdom acknowledges the fear, the pain, the chaos, the injustice of historical times and places, and she can compare any one time and place to thousands of others. But the long view is really hard for us on this earthly plane. We live in the immediacy of our lives. The immediacy of our lives in this time and place. And that immediacy is felt in how much we love our families and how much we love God and this church and how hard it is to feel safe. And how much we want life to be full of excitement and beauty and joy, and how frightened we are about the future, and how much we want peace, and how much we want the anger and the hatred to stop. We live in the immediacy of our emotional lives, and we often react without pause. Wisdom pauses. Wisdom is the long view. Wisdom's eyes are soft, and they see past the immediacy of our reactions. Wisdom breathes deeply and speaks carefully in a calm voice. Wisdom seems to have been through this before, and she has. But for us, this is the life we know, and it's hard. In a poem called To the Next Generation, German playwright Bertolt Brecht wrote, "I should like to be wise." And the poem goes on to say that he hopes the next generation will treat his generation kindly because they could not be wise. His generation could not be wise because fleeing the Nazis, they were changing countries more often than shoes. Changing countries more often than shoes. That phrase has stuck in my mind all week as I've thought about and prayed about wisdom. It's hard to be wise running in fear from country to country. It's hard to be wise fighting injustice. It's hard to be wise flipping obsessively from channel to channel, scrolling to find allies, scrolling to find enemies. It's hard to be wise without some way to find a place of calm. I need that place of calm, and I think you do too. Jesus is that place of calm. If we allow it, if we allow him into our hearts, Jesus is right here waiting for us to ask for help, waiting for us to be willing to be wise, waiting for us to be ready. As Hamlet says in Act 5, the readiness is all. There is a relationship between readiness and wisdom, and that brings us to today's gospel. Jesus says to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. There are 10 girls, all about the same age, scholars tell us around 13 or 14. They all have lamps or torches. They all know the bridegroom. They all work in his house, or they're all cousins, it doesn't say. They all wait for the bridegroom to come, but he's delayed, and they all fall asleep. No one knows when the call might come. Who will be ready? A shout goes out, 'Look, here's the bridegroom,' and all the girls get up and trim their lamps. There's no distinction between them so far. They waited so long for the bridegroom, and now the oil in the lamps is nearly gone. 5 girls thought to bring extra oil. 5 did not. The gospel calls the 5 who thought ahead wise, and the 5 who did not, foolish. The wise were ready, the foolish were not." We are not all spiritually ready all at the same time. We are not all faithful all at the same time. The 5 who were not ready did not commit a crime. They did not disobey a commandment. They did not harm anyone. They were foolish. They were not prepared. When they arrive late and the door is shut to them and they say, "Lord, Lord, open to us," the bridegroom teaches a hard lesson. He says, "I do not know you." He says this because they do not know themselves yet, and they are spiritually unprepared. For whatever reason, they behaved like the teenage girls that they were, not thinking ahead, easily distracted, self-absorbed. They were not ready for the bridegroom. They were not ready for the Lord. They were not wise. But they will learn. I do not believe that Jesus is only on one side of the door. Jesus is with us always, and Jesus was there with each one of them. In their anger and disappointment, Jesus was there with them in the dark for the long walk home. I would like to be like the wise girls. I would like to have the long view, the calm, soft eyes, and the steady voice. And I would like to know myself well enough to give up the distractions, the biases, the self-righteousness, and the ego. And yet, like the 5 foolish girls, I need Jesus to help me spiritually to grow and to get ready. I need the amazing grace of Jesus to save me from myself. What do you need now, at this time, to get spiritually ready? I don't know what the next few days, weeks, months will bring. I'm recording this on Thursday at 5:30 p.m., so I really don't know what's happening now as you watch this. But I do know that as Christians, we are asked to be wise, to take the long view, to respect the dignity of every human being, even as we hold fast to our opinions and pursue our causes. We need Jesus ever present in our lives to keep us calm and kind. I'd like to end with one more Shakespeare reference. In Henry V, the English King Henry is in France, speaking to his troops before a battle where they are seriously outnumbered, where it is likely that most of the English will die. King Henry gives his famous St. Crispin's Day speech, where he movingly praises their courage and inspires them with lines you may know, like, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers." But it's the scene after the battle that moves me and I think inspires us for our situation. By the grace of God, the English won. King Henry waits for the reports, and a messenger arrives and announces that 10,000 French lay dead. Henry then asks the numbers of English. The messenger reports 25 are dead. Silence. And as the cheering begins, Henry shouts them down with, "Death to anyone who boasts of this." He refuses to celebrate or brag or gloat over their victory. He demands the solemnity and respect for all who have suffered, for all who have died. Let us do the same. Let us be filled with the grace of Jesus and take the long view. Let us prepare to know a wisdom of love and forgiveness. Let us be spiritually ready for all that is to come. And let us be willing to receive the sweet sound of amazing grace in our efforts to be wise. Amen.